Turning your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And the books of Chronicles and Kings are in your Old Testament. And so if you find the Kings, just keep going a little bit further. You'll run into the Chronicles. You'll eventually run into Nehemiah, Ezra, Nehemiah, the book of Psalms eventually. But Chronicles is before the book of Psalms. The area and the section of the Kings and the Chronicles. We're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 34. In praying and asking the Lord, what would you have me to share with the people? It's the first day of the year. What would you want me to share with the people? Something that will encourage young and old alike in regards to what 2017 can be like, or what we can do in regards to our commitment for this year. The Lord laid upon my heart King Josiah. And when you read your Old Testament and you read through the Kings as well as the Chronicles, certain of these men jump out at you. Some of their lives were very godly. They lived their lives for the glory of God. King David would, of course, be one of those. We can learn a lot from his life. But one of the individuals that just jumps out in the king's narrative is the story of King Josiah. And I think we can glean a lot of things for our New Year's resolutions right from this text. And so I want to share from this portion of scripture of King Josiah, who was the king of Judah. And I want us just to glean some truths for the year 2017. Let's pray. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to hear in the Spirit what you have to say. For Lord, this year doesn't have to be like the years prior. It's a brand new year. It's going to have its own trials, its own blessings. But I pray, Lord, that you'd put, Lord God, a determination in our hearts to let this year be a year that you are at the forefront of our lives. Lord, bless the preaching of your word this morning. Speak into our hearts, we pray, and we give you this time asking that you would bless your word in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. I want us to begin reading, if you don't mind, in chapter 33, the very last verses, right before chapter 34. In verse 24 of chapter 33, it says, and his servants plotted against him, and they killed him in his palace. There was a lot of stuff going on in those stories. Then the people of the land struck down all those who conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his place. So there's Josiah. Chapter 34, verse 1 says, and Josiah was 8 years old. I want you to say 8 years old. He's a young guy, as old as my daughter Anna. 8 years old. He began to reign, and he was the king for 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was correct in the eyes of the Lord. And he walked in the ways of David his father, and did not turn either to the right or the left. And in the 8th year of his reign, that means he's about 16 years old, huh? In the eighth year of his reign, while he was still a young boy, he began to seek out the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to cleanse Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the Asherah poles and idols and carved and cast images. So they tore down the altars for the Baals, and he cut down the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles and carved and cast images. And he crushed them to dust and scattered them before the graves of those who sacrificed to them. Then he burned the bones of the priests on their altars and so cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. In the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, and as far as Naphtali, in their ruins all around, he broke down all the altars, beat the Asherah poles and images into powder, cut down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Elzeah, Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joan, the son of Johaz, and the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that he was brought into the house of God, which the Levites and the keepers of the door had collected from the land of Manasseh and Ephraim, and from all the remnants of Israel, and from all Judah and Benjamin, and from the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Woo, have mercy, a lot of reading, amen. And the inhabitants, and they gave it to those appointed to do the work in the house of the Lord. And those who were doing the work on the house gave it to repair and restore the house. And they gave it to the craftsmen and the builders to acquire quarried stones and timber for joists and beams for the buildings, and the kings of Judah had, or the kings of Judah had ruined. Skip down to verse 14. And when they brought out the money that had been given to the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord from Moses. Then Hilkiah said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan brought the book to the king and reported, everything has been designated to your servants. They are doing everything that has been said, so to say. They have given out the money that was in the house of the Lord, and they've allocated to those who are supervisors, those that are doing the work. Then Shaphan the scribe also declared to the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it to the king. And it happened that when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his garments. What an amazing story. And it actually continues on. You can read all the way through chapter 35. And there is so much more, which we will touch on here in a moment. But can you imagine what was going on there in the land of Judah during this time? Judah was to the south, and Israel was to the north. They were the divided kingdom. The kingdom of Israel had been divided right after the reign of Solomon, the son of David. And these two nations, although one, you can technically call it the whole nation of Israel, it was now divided with Israel to the north, Judah to the south. And all of those in the land of Judah to the south tended to seek the Lord, whereas the inhabitants of Israel to the north tended to serve the gods of Baal. And all of these, all of them being God's children, were, in a sense, going further and further away from God. And you can only imagine what it was like when a king just prior to Josiah, King Manasseh, had done evil in the sight of God there in the land of Judah. Now remember, when you read through the Kings and the Chronicles in your Bible, you're going to read about a bunch of kings. Some of them that served the Lord, some of those that didn't. It's like this up and down scenario. The land of Israel constantly turning away from God. Judah tended to serve God, but there was some kings like Manasseh who served the gods of Baal, allowed their kids to be sacrificed to these gods of Baal. In many ways, abortion that we see happening so prevalently today can almost be, in a sense, like Baal worship, where they would sacrifice their children to the gods of Baal. It's wickedness, it is evil, and it is murder. Manasseh was a king that served these gods of Baal, and in serving these things, he brought a stain to the land of Judah. The people in this land that normally sought the Lord were now serving the gods of Baal, and everywhere where they turned, there were these altars that were set up to Baal worship. There were altars that were set up, these poles that they would set up in certain groves that were set up to another of these deities known as Asheroth. You can kind of read about her there. They would worship these idols, these demonic things, and the hearts of the people were turning away from God. But then in the latter years of King Manasseh, he would repent of his wickedness and sin. He would turn to God, even after doing such horrible things, and God would eventually allow him to die in peace. I mean, God in his mercy would forgive such grave sin. But then his son would become the king, but he would not last long. And then King Josiah would be the leader of the children of Judah. 8 years old. And this young boy, from his young years, even 8 years of age, had a determination in his heart to seek the Lord God of Israel with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Even though everywhere he turned there was idolatry, even though there were priests that were sacrificing children to these false deities, even though wickedness and sin was rampant all around this young boy, he determined in his heart to seek after God. And as we read this particular text, you'll notice that there's a progression that takes place. And I want this to be the kind of progression that takes place in our lives in the year of 2017. Can you say amen to that? God wants to do something in your life and mine. He wants to do something in your homes, in your community, in this church. But there will be a determination in our hearts to go the right way and be steadfast in our determination to seek the heart of God this year like never before. Preachers are saying, godly men of God are saying that God has given us a window of opportunity. Just, we don't know how long, but before God's judgment begins to be poured out on this nation. And we must be a people that will begin to seek the face of God now while He still may be found. We cannot be messing around with our days and assume, you know, everything's just going to continue as it always was, as those scoffers will say. Jesus Christ is coming back, and we must be determined to seek the Lord now. Jesus said, will He find faith on the earth when He comes back? Would He find faith on the earth? But I'm here to tell you, He's going to find faith in Center Assembly of God. Amen? This young boy began to seek God. The Bible says, you know, when you read the Kings, you see the perspective of man about the kings. But when you read the Chronicles, you see the perspective of God towards those kings. And it says in verse 2, and he did that which was correct in the eyes of the Lord. And he walked in the ways of David his father, and did not turn either to the right or to the left. Number one, what we must have is a determination to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Amen? We don't know what this year can bring. We don't know what it can bring in our whole nation. We don't know what it can bring here in our community of Center, Colorado. We don't know what could happen in our lives, our homes. We don't know what trials can come our way. But no matter what comes, good, bad, prosperity, or even poverty, in the midst of all that we will confront this year, we must be like Josiah and be determined to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. I want you to say that, fixed upon Jesus. Jesus talked about keeping our eyes like flint. That means being determined to keep your eyes on Him, because things will come to try to distract you. We're living in a generation that is the most distracted than ever before. I mean, we've got anything to distract. If it's television, if it's gadgets, if it's phones, I mean, if it's friends or something bright and flashing, distractions are all around us, aren't they? And we must be like Josiah here and be determined to not turn to the left or to the right. But look as it progresses. As in the eighth year, as he was growing, I mean, probably by this time of 16 years of age, his voice is starting to change. I mean, he's probably talking and he's squeaking sometimes. You know what I mean? He's in that age. He's changing. He's becoming a man. The eighth year of his reign, he was still a young boy, and he began to seek out the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, that means the 12th year of his reign, he began to cleanse Judah and Jerusalem from all the high places, the Asherah poles, idols, carved and cast images. That means he had set his face to seek God. He was not turning to the right or to the left, but he began to seek God with all of his heart. He began to seek out the God of his own father David. Now, David wasn't his literal father. He was a great, great, great grandfather, so to say. But David was a man that sought God. He was known as a man after God's own heart. And I'm sure he heard stories about his great-granddad who knew God and loved God with all of his heart. And he began to seek after this God, seek out the God of David, his father. And as he began to be steadfast, he began to seek God, he began to rid the land of all this idolatry. Now, idolatry can come in many shapes and forms. Amen? Back then, it was many different things. It was high places. They would literally find high hills, and they would put at the top of that a kind of altar that they would worship their gods, little g gods. They would put or find groves of trees and set up these Asherah poles. Or they would get these images, some of them carved, meaning out of wood, some of them cast, meaning formed in a mold. And they would set up these idols of these gods and worship them. And so in this worship, these people were distracted. They were being turned from the heart of God. And Josiah was sensitive to this because he had determined in his own heart to seek God with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? And so he began to realize, he being the king, that the people were doing wrong in the land. And so he began to rid the land of all these idols and all of these places of idolatry. And I'm going to tell you, when you determine to keep your eyes on Jesus, you determine to begin to seek the Lord God with all of your heart like he did, you are going to grow more sensitive to those things that are idolatrous in your own heart and life, in my heart and life. And what will we begin to do? We will begin to rid ourselves of those things so that we will not be taken by that idolatry. One of the interesting descriptions of God is that he is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. That's why in the Ten Commandments, one of the commands was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's idolatry. That's when we devote more time to a gadget or to a game or to a television show or to a friend. You know, even our husbands, our wives, our children can become idolatrous if we're not careful. Now, don't misunderstand. God wants us to love our family. So I'm not going to take away from that. But Jesus said, if you love father, mother, wife, husband, children more than me, you're not worthy of me. Imagine that. Idolatry. And there was a time in the Bible when the Bible talked about spiritual adultery. That means that they were sleeping around with idols rather than being focused upon their God alone. God is a jealous God. And so Josiah began to see the idolatry, and what did he do? Did he just let it continue and not deal with it? No. And if we will draw near to God, we will begin to remove those things that will distract us from seeking him even more. Amen? And that's what he began to do. Look what he did even in verse 5 of chapter 34. It says, then he burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. What does that mean? Even those priests were those that did the ministry of idolatry. They did the sacrificing. They pushed this religion, so to say. Isn't that what a priest does? Huh? They taught their religion. They pushed their religion on people. They taught them about it. In the same way, he said he got rid of those. In other words, all of those elements that helped to spread the idolatry, he got rid of. And it says that he burned the bones of those priests on their altars. He broke down their altars, beat them down, destroyed them. They become like dust. But notice what else began to happen. This progression that takes place. He's dealt with the idolatry. His face is steadfast. He's seeking God. He's getting rid of the idolatry and the priests. Look at verse 8. It says, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, what? To repair the house of the Lord his God. Here were these people in the land of Judah, and they were worshiping in the house of the Lord, and they had become so numb and so blind that they had forgotten to see the house in disorder. The house of God, the building, the temple. Cracks were in the walls. It was starting to fall apart. And they were so unconcerned about the things of God, they didn't even notice that the house of God was falling apart. But Josiah was growing more sensitive to those things. And he began to repair the house of the Lord. And let me tell you something. We must be determined to begin to attend the house of the Lord. That means be determined to get to church and not allow ourselves to be distracted from attending church. And while in church, notice what we can do to benefit that church. Amen. 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 Church attendance. Is church attendance important? I mean, we have all of these television preachers on TV. I'll just stay home and watch them. I don't have to go to that church. I'll stay home and watch that preacher or that show. Watch those on your time, but don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You need the body. You need to get together in church. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, it's one thing when you live in a place where there is no church and there just is not a good church, then have church by watching that television programming. Amen? 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 But if there's a good church, you go to church and then add to your spiritual nourishment by watching those shows. Amen? Amen. Don't let those replace your church going. The writer said, let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He began to repair the house of the Lord. Then you'll notice that they began to raise up offerings. Oh, Pastor, you're going to start talking about money now? You know, there's something about when God has you so much that He even has your money. Did you know that? That when God can have your heart so much that He even has control of your money. Oh, Lord, you can have me. I'll be in church every Sunday, but don't touch my money. Now, please don't hear me as a preacher that's going to start begging for money. No, God forbid. But God wants your money so He can give you more. He wants to bless you in your giving. He wants to make you a giver, not a taker. The Bible says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Amen. This morning we took up our BGMC. We're not trying to force you to get the change out of your pockets. If you feel like you're being forced, don't give a dime. Don't give a penny. Don't give it. But let God have your heart. And when He says, give it with all of your heart. Amen? Tithes, offerings, whatever. Even time, help. When we got a new building on Worth Street this year, we're going to try to focus on getting that thing built up. Some of you have talents to offer. Amen? Let's give to the Lord. Anyways, the money began to be acquired and they began to use it. Look, in verse 10, they gave it to those appointed to do the work in the house of the Lord, and those who were doing the work of the house gave it to repair and restore the house. Now notice what else happened as this progression took place, and we'll stop here in a moment. They began to repair the house. Now it's hard to think. I mean, you think the people of Israel, the people of Judah in Jerusalem, they should have been very religious, very about the things of God, but they had grown so callous, so hard to the things of God that they weren't even really concerned about the things that the book of the law of God was lost. Can you imagine that? I mean, the law of God is the Old Testament of Scripture. Not all of it was written yet, but the first five books of Moses. The main law where they got their teaching, their instruction from, that the priests, those that the religious leaders had become lost in all the stuff. They weren't even seeking God then, and all of a sudden as they're cleaning things up, this guy finds the book of the law. Wow. That kind of helps you to see how fallen, how far away from God these people were. And all of a sudden they realize, wow, we found the book of Moses, the book of the law. And so eventually they go and take it to the king, and he says, well, read some of that to me. Can you imagine this young 8-year-old king? He's now getting older. He's probably in his 20s now. And he hears the word of this book. And as he hears it, it says here in verse 19, "And it happened that when the king heard the words, he tore his garments." I mean, this young boy had determined to seek God. He wasn't turning to the left or to the right. He was praying. He was seeking after God. He had gotten rid of idols and idolatry. He began to rebuild the temple, the house of God. He's determined to do right, to beautify, to glorify God in everything. And then now he gets the word of the Lord, the book of the law. And with it, he trembles. That means he fell under conviction. He understood by the reading of the law that this land had totally turned its back on God. And it was no wonder that the judgment of God was right at the door. And so he begins to seek out the Lord, and he goes to Huldah the prophetess. Now, believe it or not, God does use women. But look at verse 22. It says, "So Hilkiah and those with the king went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Toketh, the son of Hajra, who kept the wardrobe, and she lived in Jerusalem," and so on and so forth. Verse 23. "And she said to them, 'So says the Lord God of Israel, speak to the man who sent you all to me.'" That was King Josiah. He was wanting to hear from God. What am I to do? I got this book of the law. I can see we're right at judgment's door. And she says, "Thus says the Lord, I am bringing disaster," this is the Lord speaking, "on this place and all who dwell in it, even all the curses that are written in the book that they read before the king of Judah. Because they have abandoned me and offered sacrifices to other gods in order to provoke me with everything they have made with their hands, so my rage will be poured out on this place, and it will not be quenched." Verse 26. "And the king of Judah, who sent you all to seek out the Lord, so you will speak to him." This was the word to Josiah now. "So says the Lord God of Israel, the words that you have heard because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and those who dwell here, and you have brought yourself low before me and torn your clothes and wept before me, I have heard you, declares the Lord. I am bringing you to be with your fathers, and you will be brought to your grave in peace." I want you to say in peace. "And your eyes will not see all the disaster that I am bringing on this place and on those who dwell here." And so they returned with that word to the king. Josiah, when he heard God's word, that's why I've been saying it over and over again from the discipleship part until now. We, like Josiah, must get into God's book. Amen? And we must allow the Word of God to begin to infiltrate our hearts, our minds, our manner of life, our thinking, so that we will be determined, like this king, that we will humble ourselves in God's presence, repent of our wicked ways, and turn to him with all of our hearts, just like Josiah did. King Josiah humbled himself. He even says, "You brought yourself low before me." And God said, as a result of your turning to me with all of your heart and humbling yourself in the way that you did, you will live the rest of your life and die in peace. There is no peace like knowing we're at peace with God. Let me say that again. There is no peace like knowing we're at peace with God. But when we're at peace with God, there's a peace that this world can't give and this world cannot take away. And it says, "You will not see all the disaster that is coming. I am going to protect you." And so in this year of 2017, we, like King Josiah, must have this determination to seek God. Amen? And I wanted to use this text. I believe the Lord wanted this to encourage us to be just like he was in our determination to seek the Lord in 2017. A lot of things happened in 2016. Some of those things weren't good, and they've affected us. But 2016 is gone. We can't go back and change it. But what we can do is we can be determined now to commit this year, 2017, to the Lord and for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Later on, they would keep a Passover, the biggest that was kept there in Israel. The Passover itself speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the Passover Lamb. And there was a revelation of keeping that Passover, of knowing the value of the Lamb. We don't got time to go into that. I want us to be determined to close out this year for the glory of God. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. I want us just to say a prayer, then we're going to sit down.